presidents, we're all congressmen, we're all cops. And waiting with the workers of the world. There is the elite and the dispossessed, and it's only about survival. Who has skill to play the game for all it's worth? Reaching out to get a kind of perfection. Let's try and keep as much emotion out of.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Gary Weiss, a journalist and the author of two books probing the underside of finance, Wall Street versus America, and Born to Steal. He was an award-winning investigative reporter for Business Week, and his articles have appeared in Condé Nast Portfolio, Parade Magazine, Salon, and the New York Times, among other publications. His latest book is Ayn Rand Nation, The Hidden Struggle for America's Soul. Welcome to Background Briefing, Gary Weiss.
Well, thanks for having me.
And not so much in terms of America's soul, but in terms of Mitt Romney's soul. It seemed like in terms of the surreptitious tape that has just emerged from Mother Jones from a fundraiser that took place back in May in Boca Raton, Florida, at the home of a hedge fund billionaire.
Yeah.
It felt to me that Mitt Romney's channeling Ayn Rand.
Oh, yes. There's no question of it. I think one of the remarkable things about this this little episode is that he has to be taped surreptitiously to get his honest views on things. I mean, there's such a patent dishonesty throughout this campaign that it takes a hidden camera to reveal the honest feelings of Romney, who, as you point out, remarkably channeled Ayn Rand in these remarks. You know, she was always talking about parasites and looters versus producers. And this is exactly what he was doing. He was using very Randian terminology throughout this little speech of his.
So the vice presidential nominee on the Republican ticket, of course, has been accused of being an acolyte of Ayn Rand, and I think there's some evidence to support that.
Oh, yes.
But it looks like the number one guy on the ticket is actually really more of an exemplar in terms of his disdain for the 47% of Americans who he believes should take personal responsibility and care for their lives, and that he can't convince them to do so. I'm not aware of the fact that about half of people in this country really don't want to take responsibility for and care of their lives, that they're somehow terminally lost to government handouts. My understanding of America is that this is actually a very hardworking, industrious people who, compared to the rest of the industrial world, are underpaid and have far less government services and complain less. I just don't understand where he's getting this statistics from.
Well, he was very selectively drawing statistics indicating the percentage of people who do not pay income taxes. But what we're talking about there, of course, is how the federal tax laws exempt from taxation people who are only living at a subsistence level. I mean, one of the problems that we're having in this country nowadays is that people are making the minimum wage or only slightly above, and very frequently those people, when they have dependents especially, do not pay federal income taxes. And that's because they're barely existing, so the government rules recognize it. Unfortunately, and this is where Ayn Rand comes in, there is a feeling among people like Romney and like Paul Ryan, who was indeed and is indeed an Ayn Rand acolyte, that all taxation is what they describe as looting, and that's one of the main thrusts of the Republican presidential nominees and vice presidential nominees this year. That any form of taxation is looting. And what Romney was trying to do in this speech was to say, well, look, 47% of the people of America don't pay taxes, almost justifying his own position that people shouldn't pay taxes. In fact, the people who don't pay taxes, the 47% he's referring to are poor people. And then the problem is that, you know, rich people like him frequently don't pay taxes. That's the problem.
So do you think that this outrage over this accidental candor on the part of Mitt Romney Do you think it's just compartmentalized to the so-called liberal elite? Or do you think, because my understanding is that a lot of the people he's trying to get to vote for him are elderly and white and retired, and that's a big chunk of the people who don't pay taxes because they've already paid their taxes and they shouldn't be taxed on their retirement income. And also my understanding is that a lot of the red states are, in fact, the states that are the freeloaders, that are the mooches, that they get back from the federal government a lot more than they pay in.
Oh, absolutely. And remarkably, majority of the people above age 65 do support Romney. And, of course, people above age 65 tend to be on Social Security. Also, the majority of them are on Medicare, which the Romney-Ryan budget plan would completely gut. Perhaps they're comforted by Romney's assurances that he would not cut back on current beneficiaries. But it's interesting, though, that when he's talking about, you know, this 47% people, he says, who are dependent upon government, he's talking about his own supporters. He's talking about the elderly, about senior citizens. That's what's remarkable. And these are the people who, for some reason that's beyond me, they do support him.
So people like Rush Limbaugh are actually telling Romney to double down, that this is a great winning strategy to divide the nation between the makers and takers. Again, how do you think this is going to translate? Has this country strayed from its egalitarian roots to the point now where this strange philosophy of this failed Hollywood screenwriter and almost incoherent novelist that has become a cult figure for the right, the idea that altruism is a sin and greed is a virtue, is that where we're at?
Well, we are in a way, but, you know, there's a way, you know, I explore this in my book, you know, you can almost take Rand's teachings and sort of turn them against the right and turn them against Romney. You know, one thing that Rand taught, and there's some validity to this, is that people should look out for their own rational self-interests. Well, if the American people think about their own rational self-interests, I don't think they necessarily would oppose the so-called entitlement programs, Medicare and Social Security. If people vote on, and actually one of the complaints that you hear from the left and have heard for quite some time is that, in fact, voters don't act in their own best interests by voting for the right, voting against their own interests. So I think, in a sense, Rand can almost be a weapon. You know, if you look at Rand in a certain way, you can use Rand almost as a weapon against the right, against people like Romney.
Well, it's certainly true, Gary Weiss, that the entire debate over taxes misses the point. The point should be not how much taxes we pay, and we pay here in the United States much less than the rest of the advanced world, but what we get back for our taxes. I mean, that's how social democracy works. You pay your taxes and you get your government services. I mean, the government services that we get are pretty paltry, and they themselves are under attack from people like Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan.
What we're dealing with in this campaign, and I guess one of the great things about this surreptitious tape, is that it really reveals, as much as Romney has, I think, tried to submerge it, Romney and particularly Ryan have tried to submerge it, is that it's basically an ideological contest between the traditional view of government as being a protector of the poor, as a source of last ditch resources for the poor and taking care of the poor and the elderly, and the Randian libertarian view held by Ryan and by Romney, that the government does not have a legitimate role in protecting the poor and protecting older people. It's a very strongly drawn ideological contest in this presidential race. And one of the nice things about this surreptitious tape is that occasionally the truth comes out, the true character of this contest comes out. And that's why I think, you know, Mother Jones performed a real public service in publicizing this tape.
So do you think, as someone that's been, you know, you were an award-winning investigative reporter for Business Week, and you've had a perspective on how American business has changed over the years. My understanding is that the financialization of our economy is essentially changing the entire nature of American capitalism, and it may not be sustainable in the long run. That, you know, for example, in Europe, what the leverage buyouts that that made the fortune for Mitt Romney, they're referred to as asset strippers. I mean, it's not a pejorative term. That's just the term they use. So you have this new kind of capitalism that he represents, and that the guy that hosted the fundraiser also represents, this fellow Mark Leader, is this idea that they have some divine right to extract wealth compared to the capitalists of old that used to create wealth.
Well, certainly there's been an entire shift in the economy of this country. We're no longer producing. We're now, in effect, with a vassal state of China to a very large extent because of unbridled free trade, because we allow China to basically rape the American people, and because of Wall Street and the dominance of the financial sector and the demise of the industrial sector. All of this really comes back to Rand in a sense, because it was her view that, you know, greed is good, that we don't have to worry about our fellow man. When you think about the philosophy that's behind what you correctly describe as the asset strippers, the leverage buyout specialists, the philosophy is one, and the hedge fund managers, the philosophy of one is making profits at all costs, making profits regardless of the impact upon society. And Rand taught that the individual's greed, each individual's greed, is paramount, and that we should all be selfish and we should not care about society as a whole. And you know, you're seeing this reflected in this presidential race, and you're certainly seeing it, you know, at the rare moment of candor that we're seeing pop up blessedly in this race. You know, this whole business about the 47%. It's a real blessing in a way.
Well, but it would be a curse if he became president, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, of course. But it's a blessing that we're seeing some honesty. You know, this has been such a dishonest race. This is the most lie. There have been more lies in this race about every single thing. More lies per cubic inch in this presidential race than I think there's ever been, perhaps, in the history of this nation. I guess you'd have to go back to the 1800s. I think maybe even they were more honest back in those days. We're finally seeing some honesty, you know, Romney expressing his honest views. It's been so hard to get the man to go beyond his talking points. You know, it's required. It takes a surreptitious video recorder to capture this man and his real thoughts. I mean, you know, when are we ever going to see the truth? We're finally seeing some truth beyond the slogans and the spin. So yeah, we can see, you know, the kind of problems we're going to see if Romney is elected. How he expresses a Randian point of view. I mean, remember Rand, of course, was a, you know, she was a Russian-born philosopher. She did not express the views of the American mainstream, the views that Americans that really are. You know, the views of the founders, if you really examine them, they were not Randians. They believed in the social compact. They were guided by, you know, the likes of Thomas Paine, who believed that there needed to be sort of collective responsibility. And it's totally alien. Rand is totally alien to that. And we're seeing Romney and Ryan expressing this, I think, very un-American attitude toward social responsibility. And it's really a good thing that we're finally seeing this come out.
Well, of course, Rand herself was a monumental hypocrite because she ended up living off Social Security and was kept alive by Medicaid.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, she was one of the earliest opponents of Medicare. I mean, this is before there even was Medicare. She was against it when President Kennedy was proposing it in 1963. And when she herself qualified for Medicare, when her husband qualified, they became Medicare recipients. She struggled with the idea, but she was convinced, look, you know, you need it. And now there's an interesting line from an oral history of Ayn Rand, which came out last year, where the social worker was interviewed who convinced Rand to sign on with Medicare, even though she was against it, ideologically against it. One of the things she said to Rand was, look, there is this thing called greed on the part of doctors. I'm just paraphrasing roughly, but that stands out if you look at the oral history. There is this thing called greed. In other words, it's not okay for Rand to be a victim of greed on the part of the medical profession, but it's perfectly okay for her to advocate greed in the abstract. This is this really strong strain of hypocrisy going through Rand's life and her writings.
Well, these contemptuous remarks by Mitt Romney that were surreptitiously recorded at a fundraiser in Boca Raton, Florida, back in May, they've been quoted extensively, but essentially the part that stands out is that he's talking about the 47% who'll vote for Obama no matter what. They're dependent on government, but they believe that they are victims who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing. Now, interesting enough, the United States signed the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights Treaty. That treaty says exactly that, that everybody in the world is entitled. That's a human aspiration and a standard to which all governments should be held. I find it's frightening the foreign policy aspects to what have been revealed from this taping. He, you know, basically dismisses the Palestinians as a bunch of terrorists. His ideas about Iran getting the bomb, that they're going to send fissile material to Hezbollah and Hezbollah are going to bring a bomb into Chicago. I mean, it's like worse than sort of discount Robert Ludlum stuff, you know. But his lack of understanding, not just about who the American people are, but how the world works, is pretty extraordinary for a man that's wanted this job for so long.
Yeah, and what's really quite extraordinary is that we're hearing about it, sub rosa. It's all hush hush. You know, it's almost as if he only owes the truth, his true feelings, to the people who give him money. Only those who are willing to actually pay for his campaign are entitled to the truth about his beliefs. The American people, the voters, are not entitled to this information. We are not giving him money, so therefore we have to, we have to plant microphones at his speeches that he gives to the 1% in order to find out who his true feelings are. You know, the lies so saturate this campaign that American people are not entitled to lies. Lies is so, the truth is so precious in this campaign, and lies is so abundant we just do not know what this man's opinions are. You know, it's really amazing if you look at the press coverage of some of his of Romney's positions. Now, Romney just doesn't talk about the details of his positions. You know, what are his positions on taxes? You know, people have to sort of use supposition to figure out, well, what does he mean? You know, what does this really mean? He refuses to talk about his true beliefs. He hides and conceals and lies. And you know, if you really think about it, that to a certain extent is almost the character issue is what's really I think becoming to dominate this campaign. And I don't know whether Romney can win. I don't think, you know, he's doing poorly at the polls, and I don't really know to what extent that's because of the dishonesty that he's exhibited. I don't know to what extent. I certainly this latest news that's come out will not help him at all. Definitely will not.
Well, Gary Weiss, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Gary Weiss, who's a journalist and the author of two books probing the underside of finance, Wall Street versus America and Born to Steal. He was an award-winning investigative reporter for Business Week, and his latest book is Ayn Rand Nation, The Hidden Struggle for America's Soul. And we're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back in a moment and look into who stole the American dream.